I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, it's me, Mike. I run the Sonar Podcast Network, the very one you're listening to right now. I love podcasting and I love the Canadian podcast community. And if you're a podcaster, work in podcasting, or just someone who loves podcasts, you're going to want to listen up. I'm proud to announce that I've been working very hard behind the scenes on an incredible podcasting event in Toronto on June 6th, the Soundwave Summit 2024. And as a Sonar listener, you get 15% off on all tickets with the code SONAR15. An awesome group of podcast companies and creators have banded together to create a space for podcasters and fans to build community, share knowledge, and celebrate indie productions. There will be a ton of informative sessions all day, including talks from Canada Land, Vocal Fry, Black Canadian Creators, Lead Podcasting, and of course, from us, the Sonar Network. In the evening, there will be a showcase of live podcast recordings from Blacklantic, Squirrel Talk, and the Women of Ill Repute. And it's all emceed by the amazingly talented and Survivor-winningest host of Happy to See Me podcast, Erica Kostupinen. Join us for insightful workshops on podcasting, networking with industry pros, drinks, and overall amazing opportunities to meet and collaborate with like-minded podcast lovers. Come for the sessions in the day, the live podcast showcase at night, or better yet, come for the whole thing. Tickets are going fast, so get them now at thesoundwavesummit.com. And don't forget to use the code SONAR15 for 15% off all tickets. That's SONAR15. See you there.
Hey everyone, it's me, Everardo. I know a lot of people have been wondering about new My Gorgeous Son episodes, and honestly, I wish I knew. I wish I knew the answer to that. What I do know is that I have a brand new show called Public Access Podcast coming out June 16th on the Sonar Network. It's a 10-part limited comedy anthology series. Each week is a brand new show from a fictional Public Access Podcast channel. Here's an exclusive sneak peek episode that I did with Mark Little, who you may know. If you like it, you can subscribe, you know, wherever you get podcasts. You know where that is. I don't even have to tell you. Wherever you're listening to this, go find it on there, okay? Anyway, here's a sneak peek episode of Public Access Podcast coming June 16th on the Sonar Network.
The Public Access Podcast channel presents I Love Comedy, the only podcast where comedians talk about stand-up comedy. Part 1, The Art of Stand-Up and the Craft of a Joke.
Alright, welcome back to another episode. As always, I'm your host, Everardo. And with me in the kind of co-pilot scene, I'm not going to say co-host, that seems diminutive, even though that is kind of what he will be doing during this podcast, kind of like a Batman and Robin, but with kind of just two Batmans, some might say. With me joining is Mark Little, everybody. How's it going, Mark?
It's fine. This is already, there's already so much I want to, you said welcome back. Once again, this is episode 1, minute 1 yeah. of this brand new podcast.
Just kind of want to get a familiar feeling kind of right off the bat. So,
Sure.
And, you know, maybe
so
this will
make people feel like they're dropping into a long-standing conversation.
Exactly. And I want people to kind of feel confused, like what's going on, like they dropped in on something that they shouldn't be listening to. But I hope they listen.
Yeah. Yeah, we want people to feel like they dropped in on something they shouldn't and needn't listen to.
But they can't look away.
It's the car crash.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is kind of, you know, just a classic podcast talk, get through maybe every week, kind of see what, check in every week. Or not, we'll see.
Sure.
Yeah, so Mark, what have you been up to?
I just want to clarify for people that I don't know why I've agreed to do this podcast.
Yeah.
Everardo promised me
this is huge for me.
We would, that he had a solid plan, but he also did mention, he said, you know, the first 20 minutes of Marin, the good part? Where it's where it's just Marin alone in his garage musing.
Yeah, that's what
unencumbered by an interview subject or a specific topic. This is going to be that all the time.
Yeah,
I that's believe how the exact line was. Yeah, it was a good pitch.
Which, you know, that's kind of what it's going to be like, us riffing, and hopefully this will be this can all be usable stand up one day. I think that's
Hoping to turn this into material for your stand-up.
Yeah, I think that's kind of like what Marin does, kind of, but, you know, we'll see. And I just want to be clear, you know, we're going to be talking about kind of all, I'm a huge pop culture junkie. This is not going to be just one of those movie podcasts where we just talk about movies, but that is going to be, might be part of it in some episodes, but it's not going to be the whole thing. But I do want to ask, I know, Mark, you are kind of a film buff.
A film buff.
Or a film junkie, I guess. More of a film junkie, I guess.
Sure. I watch movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, you try to give my my pretty normal hobby an intense connotation.
Yeah, so I'm just kind of wondering, what have you been watching? What have you been watching lately?
What have I been watching? You know, I'm always watching old movies. I watched Moonstruck with my parents. Moonstruck's like my favorite movie, and I was at home and I was watching it with my dad and my mom, and I was kind of nervous about it because my dad like talks through movies, and
yeah,
I felt like I emotionally had a lot on the line showing them like my favorite movie, which is kind of sentimental.
Did they know it was your favorite going in?
Yeah, I really stacked the deck. Like, I'll let them know that it's really important to me that this goes well. And my dad, sure enough, talked throughout the entire thing.
Damn.
At one point, Cher comes out. She's had a makeover. She's got big 80s hair. And my dad goes, her hair looked better before.
Just my mom, a quiet burn to Cher.
Yeah, and my mom and my girlfriend really got mad at him for... for his taste, and I guess for coming swinging at Cher. And then the movie continues. And then there's this moment at there's this final great scene at the dinner table or kitchen table where everyone's just like coming and going. And there's like this really emotional moment where Cher and her father are kind of coming together for the first time all movie. And, in this quiet moment, my dad says, her hair looks good here though.
So he was preoccupied with Cher's hair the entire movie.
Yeah, I was crying in that moment. Like, there were tears in my eyes, and part of my brain was like, I wonder what my parents think of this. And then my dad goes, this hair looks good here. Like, that, what are you watching?
Damn. Do your parents like, my dad always is like joking through movies.
I think that's it. Like, my dad's kind of doing jokes, but they're just not really like funny jokes. So they kind of just feel like bitter man muses aloud.
Yeah. A lot of it, like, I guess like it, a lot of dad watching movies with family is like him roasting the movie. Or for me, it's my dad like making fun of the movie a lot. Like he, it's a movie he picked, and it's always like an action movie, and he calls them American movies, because I guess they are American movies.
That's really good. But, that's really
but
accurate.
Like, not every American movie qualifies as an American movie, if you know it. Like, certain movies, and they're always like, I guess basically propaganda movies, which a lot of these kind of like action movies are. And he'll be like Indiana Jones or whatever. Like he'll be he'll kiss the girl at the end or whatever, and my dad will be like, "Come on," or like
he doesn't buy that.
Yeah, which that part seems believable to me, but like,
he just defeated Nazis with a magic chest that like makes them age and melt. Then he kisses a girl, and your dad's—it's pushed too far for your dad.
Yeah,
come on,
or he's always
haven't even been on a date.
Or he'll be like, he would never win. Like it's like, yeah, like obviously a real person wouldn't survive this situation.
Yeah, your dad demands more realism.
Yeah, and I think you're right about that, because I also noticed that my dad, I went on a vacation with my dad last summer, like a road trip. Me and him drove to New York, and he was on his phone the whole time watching videos, but like the videos that he was watching, full volume, no headphones, obviously.
Yeah,
and the videos he was watching are like violent death video, like terrorists killing people videos, or like a lot of
like from movies, or like
no from like news? Like from like liveleak.com or whatever, like
Jesus,
like videos of like Mexican like cartels like murdering people, and it's like he's just watching this also
watching
along
this
with
stuff?
Like prank videos too.
Yeah.
So it'll be
which
like
is like the sort of low stakes version of those other videos.
Yeah. He's
like, we're going to make our buddy think that we're going to cut his head off.
Yeah. So
and
like
dad laughs at those and then watches the real thing.
Those are kind of prank videos that he likes. Like I think that's huge in Mexico, like scary pranks, like guy with a gun points at it at someone in an elevator and they run away and they're never told that it's a prank. The guy is just like once the people run away, then he like points at the camera and he's like, or like, and then it like it's revealed it's a prank, but they never know.
I remember so this prank I saw on this chat. It was like a clip from a Japanese prank show. It was a guy doing what he thought was a normal job interview, but then a bunch of terrorists busted in and killed everyone in the room.
Yeah.
Like, quote unquote killed everyone in the room with like fake gunshots and fake wounds, and then this guy was just screaming and crying and crawling around, and then he had to crawl to safety, and the entire time they had this little like inset bubble of a crowd reaction, a live audience watching it, and in the front row of the audience were this man's wife and daughter, and they were like laughing until they were in tears.
Do you think
and you're watching this and you're like, this guy has PTSD now.
Yeah, like
you've affected this man forever. It's not you can't just tell someone all of those feelings you had were just a joke.
Yeah.
Even if he intellectualizes that, the feelings will remain. Probably.
Yeah. Do you think the doctors ever try to tell this guy like the psychiatrist or whoever, like his therapist, are like, yeah, I know you have PTSD, but it was just a prank. Like, relax. Yeah.
Do you see the difference?
And then
you weren't attacked. Do you see the difference?
Yeah, it's crazy that pranks give PTSD now.
Yeah, that's next level pranks. It feels crazy that our world is simultaneously becoming more enlightened and more permissive about those things. Like, we know more than we ever have about mental health. Companies are jumping on board with mental health initiatives. And yet, it's like, cut a guy in half, slay his child in front of him.
All
let him
prank.
Linger on that truth for 2 solid hours before you point to the camera.
Yeah, it's fucked.
He's already entered like the fourth stage of grief.
I pulled a prank on someone last week, actually. I got a text message that was not for me. And it said, Mark, this is Lisa. Here, let me find this text. It was weird.
Aren't those the... Those are two of the names from The Room?
Is this... So maybe they're pranking me, but I don't think so. It said, hi, Mark, it's Lisa. I ordered from both sites. My mom is placing her order tonight as well. It was super easy to order and super appreciated. Thanks. And this was on at 7:30 p.m. And for some reason, I tried, instead of just ignoring it or like saying wrong number, I decided to respond as it, like, do a prank back. And my prank was that to be a guy who's so tired, like, act as if they woke me up. So
what? What are you talking about?
So this person, Lisa, texted their friend Mark saying that they ordered something. I guess I'm assuming from Mark. And I decided to respond as in character as Mark, pulling a prank on
as
this person.
As if you just got woken up by this text.
Yeah, and I said, that's...
Like you would if someone called you and woke you up.
Yeah, but I
texted it. Except you're doing that through text.
But I texted it back. I said, that's great, but please don't text me this late. I'm trying to get some sleep, and you just woke my ass up. And
that's so... It's way too believable to be a prank.
There's
no prank there. That's a trick. There's the fine line between a prank and a trick.
Yeah.
A lie.
I thought it was hilarious. I was proud of myself all night. I thought it was so funny. And then the next morning, I guess Lisa thought it was real. Because then the next morning, this was at 7:30 at night, I said that she woke me up.
Yeah.
Then the next morning at 10 a.m., she said, sorry, Mark, for waking you up. I certainly wasn't trying to inconvenience you. I hope you and Michelle have a great time fishing.
Oh, God.
And then I responded, can a guy get some shut-eye around here? Keeping this tired Mark character.
Why did you do this?
I don't know. And I thought that was funny, too. And I was riding high all day. I tweeted about it. I posted it on Instagram. And then I started feeling bad about it.
Yeah, you should have.
And
you're impacting their relationship.
Well, to be fair, I did feel bad about it over the first time. But then in the morning, I kind of wanted that high of like a comedy high. doing a bit with only this stranger who is not sure that it's a bit. So I kept going. I'm thinking of apologizing.
Oh, you haven't? You have not clarified yet that you are not Mark?
No. I've kept this going and maybe ruined her relationship with Mark, whoever that is to her.
It's not like she thinks this is Mark.
Yeah.
You've convinced her. this is bad.
And she's like, why the fuck is Mark so tired? Like, why is he so... tired, and why is he so angry with me? Like,
you have to clear this up.
Yeah, so I looked. I think I do have to clear it up. I've googled the number. I've realized it's a massage therapist in Peterborough. I'm thinking of
what?
I googled her number, this Lisa person. I found I found out it's a massage therapist in Peterborough. I'm thinking of booking a massage.
You don't have to do all this.
And to apologize in person.
No.
After the massage. After the massage.
Way worse.
Because also my shoulder has been a bit tight. So
get a different massage therapist. Just write an apology tonight.
Yeah.
Apologize and clarify.
Or maybe I'll book an appointment for Mark.
This is not fair. Are you even, like, what are people's responses when you're posting this to Instagram?
Mostly my sister was just like, why did you do that? Did you apologize? Who is that person?
Yeah,
that's pretty much a majority of the feedback.
It's bad behavior. It's not even like the kind of joke where when you tell her it was a joke, she'll be like, oh, yeah, I wondered why Mark kept saying such extreme things, so extremely out of character for Mark. I feel like in your mind, someone saying my ass is tired is so unbelievably comedic.
Yeah, that's what I thought was so funny when he said, you
normal.
Just woke my ass up. Like, I'm picturing, like, this guy's so sassy.
Even you saying that as a joke, I'm still not sure if it's a joke. It's a thing many people say.
Yeah, I guess it's not really a joke or a prank, per se, but...
It's deception.
Mostly just a lie.
You've practiced deception on what sounds like a nice woman.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll see. Maybe I'll respond to her this
Who
week.
Who probably can't see Mark ever, because this is COVID.
Yeah, she's probably like, wow, Mark's...
She's not going to get cleared up.
Mark's in a, like, weird place now. Like, he's way different. I haven't seen him in weeks.
Yeah, Mark's just tired all the time now and cranky.
And from the text, it seems like maybe she bought something from Mark. So I'm like... She's probably thinking, like, what the hell? Like, I just gave this guy money. He's such a such a dick. But anyway. So I will... I will. You're right. I should apologize to her. I will text her maybe this week. And maybe next episode we'll follow up.
I guess that's what this podcast is going to be, huh?
Yeah, maybe this will be a true crime podcast. The crime being the text.
Except you're the one committing these very petty... Not quite crimes.
Yeah, kind of be a mix of Serial, mixed with Jerky Boys, mixed with Howard Stern. That's kind of what this podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's a true inconvenience podcast. You are inconveniencing people, and it's true, and then you are reporting on your own inconvenient behavior.
Mm-hmm. And then. It's not even that bad behavior. They're like, yeah, this was a little bit confusing for like 1 second, and then I never thought about it ever again.
Yeah. Honestly, pretty close to a lot of Just for Laughs gags
that I've watched. Yeah. A lot of the
where
gags.
It's just like,
let's be like,
a nun is running for her life down the street and someone expresses real concern.
Yeah.
And then the nun stops and reveals there's a camera.
Or
the person's like, oh, I guess you're okay. Yeah. I guess it is weird that a nun would be running. Not that weird.
Yeah, it is weird that it's
not outside the realm of believability.
Downtown Montreal. Or like a cop, it'll be like a cop wearing a thong. And then people walking by, maybe they notice it.
Yeah.
And if they do, they're like, that's kind of weird.
You point to a camera and the person is like, oh, okay, I guess. I still think this happens a bit. But I guess... In this case, that's not what was going on.
Man, Just for Laughs gags. Do you think they could do gags this year? Do you think they did fresh gags this summer?
Oh, I would love to see how Just for Laughs gags is responding to COVID.
Oh, yeah, what would be social distance gags that they could...
A nun refusing to wear a mask.
Yeah. It would be that. Or like... A construction, it'd just be like people pointing at a construction worker on a riser, and he like hammers his thumb.
Yeah.
And like, that's
it'll be someone wearing a mask that's too complicated. And then they'll be asking strangers to help with the mask. And the strangers won't understand the social cues.
Hey guys, Everardo here, from the podcast you're listening to. I just want to take a moment to shout out an awesome new product that I'm into. And they just happen to be a sponsor of the show. Brain Gas. Powerful nootropic from Dr. Oz. No, not that Dr. Oz. The Dr. Oz featured on the Now That's What I Call Wellness podcast and shopping show. Right here on the Public Access Podcast channel. Brain Gas is a unique nasal spray. One sniff and your brain is coated with energy for a full day. Kind of makes me feel like Bradley Cooper in Limitless meets Crank from the Crank movies. Brain Gas is literally gasoline for your brain. Before, I felt like my brain was stuck in neutral, but now I'm in overdrive. One hit and my brain's engine is humming, which is a good thing. Anyway, check it out. Google.com, search Brain Gas, Dr. Oz.
Are there segments in this show, Ev? Is there another segment you want to do? I would like a segment on our favorite, I want a segment on novelty mugs and t-shirts that we saw and we enjoyed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like that.
I just want to talk about like favorite jokes in media, on mugs and on t-shirts and in commercials, which I feel like is like the high priced version of mugs and t-shirts. Like jokes travel from the, did you see the commercial where it was like, there's like the people are on a boat and then there's like a little boat of sushi, like a teeny little remote control boat of sushi traveling towards them. And I don't know what it's a commercial for, but someone was like,
no,
anyway, it's a weird commercial. And then someone's like, the guy's like, Oh, sushi boat. That's great, because I forgot to pack the sandwiches. And then his girlfriend turns to him and she goes, you had one job.
Oh, yeah, that kind of shit.
But then that's not the end. That's not the end of the commercial. God. They keep, there's more lines.
Fucked. Speaking of commercials, do you remember the Alexander Keith's commercial with the like Scottish guy who?
Yeah, who turned out to be like a bad guy.
Yes, I think he turned out to be a
pedophile. I remember him being like kind of like, I remember it was, he was, he, what he looked like to me was like, if you tried to make Fat Bastard believable.
Yeah, he looked like skinny Fat Bastard, but like in real life.
Yeah, like when you see guys who look like Homer Simpson and you're like, oh yeah, that's like a non-cartoon version. This was like that.
Yeah, he did look like
Fat
that.
Bastard in the wild.
If you don't remember these commercials, these were like a couple years ago, Alexander Keith's beer commercials. This guy looks like a realistic fat bastard. He has a Scottish accent. Yeah. And I forget what he would say. He would just like say shit in a Scottish accent, I guess. He, I guess, is a pedophile.
Oh, he's a pedophile. Okay.
Yeah, I think he's a pedophile. This summer, my parents rented a cottage in Minden, Ontario. This was like north, kind of in the Kawartha area. They rented this cottage, and the neighbor of this cottage was like, oh, like, before you got here, like a few days before you got here, there was a helicopter circling this cottage one night, and they pulled up. Like cops pulled a body out of the river, out of the lake.
No, it was
like,
not that guy.
And it was that fucking guy.
Really?
They pulled his body out of the river at this, what? Like right at the property of this cottage that my parents rented. And then also what happened this summer in Minden, Ontario, like a week before this dead guy, this, they pulled this pedophile out of the water. A week before that. A guy went on a fucking anti-mask rampage at the grocery store and started like running, like wasn't allowed in the grocery store because he didn't have a mask, and like started running people, like smashing into cars with his car, and then drove to like a different grocery store in town and did the same thing there. And then eventually drove home, and then I think the
down
police
to the lake and killed a pedophile. Now we don't know how to feel about him. Is he good or bad?
Man, I don't know. But the police did shoot him. So Minden,
what? They shot him to death.
They shot him to death.
This, your stories keep ending in tragedy.
I know, it's insane. It's this weird. It happened in like 2 weeks in this small town.
You need to run these stories by me before I just. I feel uncomfortable. Like I know you're describing bad guys, but I feel uncomfortable ripping on them and then having you tag it with any way they died. All right, what's the next segment here, Ev?
Okay. Well, I guess considering me and you both are comedians, members of the comedy community. First of all, maybe we could talk about comedy. Like we haven't really had a chance to do much comedy. Have you done any sets since we came back or since things have started? No,
I did like two Zoom shows when the pandemic started. Then I took a long look in the mirror and then I checked out.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know who this is for. It's not for me, and it's definitely not for these audiences.
Yeah.
It's like, whatever social contract that we're all agreeing to here, this feels like a forced family reunion.
Yeah, it does kind of have that. I did a couple Zoom shows, like stand-up Zoom shows. They are weird. I'm not going to like, I was never like going to write them off. Like I kind of was annoyed when people were like, fuck Zoom. Like it's not real. And it's true. It's not real, but it's like,
not real.
Yeah. Like the kind of like, you know, the kind of like stand up, like the grinder kind type of stand up comedian. Like the kind of guys right. that do.
Oh, so you're saying I didn't?
Sets.
I actually didn't know that this attitude was out there. You're saying that the
I
same
feel
type
like
of
it's
guys,
kind of out a little bit,
like the same guys who would kill to perform in like a chicken restaurant while the
yeah
while the restaurant full of people does not did not realize there was going to be a show happening, are objecting to Zoom.
Yeah, they're like, fuck this, it's not real. Or like even just like older That's... pro comedians who I do respect,
oh, sure.
but. And I understand that. Like, it is not.
Yeah, what,
I did, like,
my
a corporate Zoom show, and it was honestly not as bad as I thought.
How's my impression of how confusing an ATM machine is going to work over Zoom? Beep, boop, bop, boop,
yeah.
beep.
I wonder if there is, like, the hack stuff, like, in Zoom shows. Like, you can tell a hack if they're like, now who, like, I bet this guy's not wearing pants. You know, like, stuff like that. I bet that's. Like, I bet there's like Zoom hack, and it got hacked like very fast.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, like right,
this guy's looking at porn or like something like that. Like those, I'm
yeah,
sure.
I'd show you what I mean, but I can't stand up. Let's just say I'm not dressed all the way down.
Let's just say I got another browser going.
Yeah. Oops. Hope you guys didn't catch a glimpse of that.
Yeah. But yeah,
that's good.
I did a couple good. Zoom shows, but I'm not gonna knock on them. I think it's just like anything. I think it's just like another thing, you know. Like it's like
did you see that
when stand-ups make fun of improv? It's like I'm not gonna make fun of improv. Like why make fun of that? That's just a different kind of comedy.
Well, it's
you
but
know
it's,
what I mean.
You can make fun of it.
I think yeah. I mean, you can make fun of it.
I feel like
but
you can make fun of all of this.
You can make fun of it all, I guess. There's
like
no 99%
of improv is trash and 99% of stand-up is trash.
That's true.
It's just trash in very different ways.
That's true. Yeah, I guess
like
it's
one,
a,
of
it's, like,
one of them seems like a support group for very, very sad people, and one of them seems like a support group for very mad people.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the difference right there.
That
Are
is
you furious?
The fundamental difference, yeah.
Yeah, who's to blame for your problems? The world or you?
Yeah, I guess
if it's you, there's improv. If it's the world, then there's stand-up.
Damn, that's that is the most like succinct way of comparing the two I've ever heard. I guess it's like Zoom is like everything else. Like you just have to not do a shitty job. You know what I mean? Like just produce a good show. Like there's like shitty stand-up yeah. shows, but if you get like a nice, like make a little stage area, get a light or whatever. Like I think it's the same. With Zoom and just like figure
yeah.
out how to be funny on that, which is it is hard, I will say.
Yeah, Jacob Greco had a good show where he played like a computerized sort of robot voice man,
yeah.
like a floating disembodied head.
That
and
was awesome.
I think that was actually the last show I did. I liked the show a lot, but I did it and I was like playing a DJ and riffing with him, and I thought I was cooking.
Yeah.
I think I was absolutely cooking. And then I read the comments. And one guy was like, I can't remember what he said. I think I blocked out the criticism. But I do remember the response, which was from this guy trying to defend me. And he said, well, it's improv. And I was like, all right, I'm out. I can't see this in real time.
Yeah, seeing it in real time is crazy. 'Cause like
I don't want people
on stage,
defending me.
You can see like the audience in real time, but you're not hearing their thoughts.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You can see their face, and even if they look disappointed, you could maybe trick your brain, be like, no, like that's just their face or what, like whatever.
Yeah,
like,
maybe
that's
they
just
don't
their
laugh
face.
A lot.
Yeah. But when you're seeing
still
them,
the worst, still the worst feeling in the world when you do a set and like one person like, sitting in the front row and they're not laughing.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
You just convince yourself that they're just not a big laugher. Oh, they probably laugh inwardly, and then you see the next performer make that person laugh until they cry.
Yeah, that is
nightmare.
That always happens. Yeah. But yeah, so basically stand-up is not really a thing. Also, like, yeah, it's sort of come back now, and it's like we're all just pretending it's back. Like, it's not really back. Like, there's, like, plexiglass on the screens. It's like, it's bizarre. Anyway, I did want to, maybe this kind of, maybe a final segment, we can talk about jokes or something. I don't know.
Yeah, you want to try your jokes out on me.
I want to try a joke out, because
this is the segment where Ev has his notebook full of, I'm going to have to assume, months worth of material from when the pandemic started. I'd love it. I cannot wait for you to try your half-cooked premises on me.
Well,
this is the most excited I've been this entire podcast. I finally understand what this is.
I don't want to, like, straight up do, I don't know if I'm going to do a joke, like, tell a joke like I would on stage, but I did a joke, a show last week, and I'm going to say I bombed. I'll admit it, I bombed. And I realize, I think my material was just too, like, depressing for people. Like, I realize people, if they're out, they don't want to be reminded that it's a pandemic, because they're already feeling like it's kind of a bad idea.
Remember the guy who did those Alexander Keith's commercials? He was a pedophile. He died.
I think I brought that up. Maybe. They're like, we don't remember any of
that. This guy went on an anti-mask tirade. He did it in another grocery store. He was a lunatic. He got murdered.
My jokes were like, I'm glad this is the apocalypse we're going through, right? And they're like, don't remind us. Like, please don't ever remind us.
They might have been waiting for the punchline, too.
That's true. That's the other thing. I was also like, I'm not going to do my old jokes, which are good. I would, like, good jokes that are complete with punchlines and premises, and people like them. It's like, I got to work on my new stuff.
I don't want any false humility on Everardo Unleashed. It's Everardo Unleashed. I want you to talk up your
I got the
talk
best
up
jokes.
Your work, top up.
We've all been seeing them for years now. But no, but I was like, I don't want to, like, do the old jokes. That seems like a waste of my time.
Yeah.
But I guess I'll do new jokes, which aren't going to be good, and they weren't good.
Well, you know what? Lay them on me. Lay some of those on me. And then we'll make this a regular segment where you can hit me with your latest jokes and premises and thoughts that might become jokes. And, you know, and then maybe people, aspiring comedians or just curious, you know, listeners will have a little insight into the joke writing process. Or maybe it'll turn them off the enterprise altogether, which, win-win.
Yeah. Well, again.
Win-win.
So, I don't know. This was one idea I had. It was about riding the subway. Do you ever, like, this is actually something I do. Whenever, like, the subway or a bus or whatever comes into the station, do you, like, look through the window and, like, try to pick the best bus? You know what I mean? Like, not, like, see who's on the bus before you pick which car to go into. Like, on the subway, as it's rolling in, you skim.
Do you call subway cars buses?
The bus. This is a joke. It could work
in
on.
In your mind, is a subway made up of multiple buses?
In my mind, I'm already making the joke accessible for out-of-town shows that don't have subway. The joke is not even written. The premise isn't even fleshed out. I'm already thinking about touring it in Kitchener or whatever when they don't have a subway. So I'm
so much more confusing to try and translate it mid-joke.
Yeah, so for this...
So condescending to explain to someone in Kitchener that a subway is a bus underground.
Oh, man. Yeah. Okay, so for this...
All right, continue.
So for this
purpose, you're looking through...
we're talking about the subway.
Yeah.
Like, as the car is rolling in, I look through the window and I try to, like, see what kind of people are on in each car before I decide, like, oh, okay, I'm going to go in this one. Like, not too many people, not, like, a weird... like, there's no buskers, there's no, like, banjo guy.
Right.
There's, like...
there's no, like, guy with an organ playing Despacito.
Yeah. There's none of that. And, like, also, one thing I try... it's, like, I pick the bus that I think... like, if this is a movie, who would the movie, like, follow? Because that's going to be the best bus. Like,
stop saying... I insist you stop saying bus.
Okay.
I demand that you stop
saying
bus.
I mean car. I mean subway car.
Okay, listen. here's the flaw in this thinking to me. If you... in my mind... No. I wait for the one that stops in front of me, and I get on that one. It stops for like 5 to 10 seconds.
That's true.
Are you if you look at the front first car and you decide that you like the look of someone inside it, are you racing down the subway tracks to get to that car?
I guess, yeah, right. Ultimately, it's between like the two that I see immediately that I could. It's like which one, I guess. Is better. It's less. Ultimately, which one has less people? That's the number one factor that I'm looking for.
Yeah,
less people.
Yeah, there's no reason to get all cute with this. It's which car has the fewest people. And yes, if you see a busker, obviously avoid that at all costs.
But then here's the other aspect of it. What if something goes down on this bus or a car? You know, what if speed?
You keep saying bus because you're going to talk about speed.
Why I keep saying bus, because I'm picturing a speed like situation, but it could happen on a subway.
Well, maybe
I guess
you could
it could
picture
be
the end of speed
Pelham
where it's a subway.
Three.
Right.
So, like, if something were to go
it could
down,
be speed or the equally popular taking of Pelham 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. The two factors are like how many people are in it, and also if something goes down, is this the car that's gonna survive, you know? Like, is this the one the movie's gonna follow throughout the whole time? Or is this like one of the carts at the back that gets like blown up or whatever? In a terrorist emergency style situation, if something were to go down.
Now it seems like you're confusing a subway with a train. I've never seen a single movie where one subway car
Men in Black
pulled away from the rest of the subway. Does that happen? Men in Black?
I think a big worm, or maybe a big worm becomes the subway. I don't know. In Men in Black.
What?
In Men in Black, there's like, I think it's Men in Black. He's like in the subway, and there's like a big slug alien.
Yeah.
Chasing the subway and like, maybe eats right. the last car. So I'm like, right. I don't want to be that car that gets eaten by slug. I want to be Will Smith car. So yeah. I pick like a car that has like, you know, like a Will Smith type, a Chris Pratt type, like an action hero. Like, is there someone that if shit goes down, can they handle it? Because I don't want to be the guy to have to handle
that's
it.
That's you. Yeah.
I know. It's not me.
So here's what I'm going to say. This is not a joke. This is not relatable material. Is what I'm gonna say.
Okay, that's kind of the vibe the audience was giving off as well. They're like, "What are you talking about?"
And I feel like the relatable element of this joke is there are certain people on the subway you want to avoid, and that is the only thing that's relatable. Okay. I have never once thought which part of this subway would get blown up or eaten by a worm.
Oh, man.
And who's the hero?
You're right. But yeah, maybe it's ultimately not a joke, I guess.
I'm not saying there's nothing there.
I think there's
Do you have another one you want to try out?
No, I think that's the only thing I've thought about.
So that was 8 months of work.
Yeah, and like over like 8 months, I'm like building it up, and it's like in my mind the perfect joke, and then when I'm telling it on stage, I've also realized I've not really like spoken out loud to anyone other than my girlfriend or my family or like some
have
coworkers.
You told them that joke?
I tried to run it by my girlfriend. She was also like did not follow what I was trying to say. So
yeah,
maybe it's in the delivery. Well, that's our show. Another biting episode.
Another episode. Is that how you want to wrap it up? Just say goodbye? You don't have a closing? Do you have like a parting thought, a pearl of wisdom, or anything you want to leave your listeners with?
Not really. I
feel like I'm podcast coach.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, you're kind of like, like my coach in podcasting. I like that. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I guess we could.
Yeah.
Everardo, we don't really have anything to plug. Because we don't have plugs. Check out.
Yeah, come see me in the park playing tennis.
Check it out.
Working out some shit.
Nice. Yeah, I have nothing to plug other than this podcast, which you're hopefully already listening to.
Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Hopefully you're not just reading a transcript online to see if the words jump off the page enough for you to give it a listen. I'd love to end the episode, for my part, with a motivational, inspirational quote. And maybe this can become a bit of a routine as well. But here's the quote for this week. Begin quote. "This is life, Hank, you know? Shit comes flying at you, and you gotta deal with it. That's what defines you, how you deal with it. You don't get points for wallowing." And that quote, of course, comes from the character Karen from the show Californication.
Damn. Wonderful.
So that's our inspirational quote of the week, is from the show Californication and the character Karen.
Never saw that show, but maybe I will.
You know.
Maybe that's inspired me to maybe think about watching it.
Yeah, let's all go watch Californication.
Yeah.
A show about a writer who's really cool. David Duchovny is a really cool writer who has sex with
horny.
A lot of people. He's a horny, and he's too horny, and that's his fatal flaw.
Do you think that's like...
That he can't, his horniness makes him have sex with people, and then that hurts his relationships. He has sex with the wrong, too many people and the wrong ones. Can't say no.
Californication.
And he can't write that second book, even though the first one was so good.
I know we're wrapping up the show, and we don't want to just be one of those shows where we just talk about movies and shows and stuff. But Californication does seem like the most obvious example of like a TV show writer living out their wildest life through the show that they create. You know what I mean?
Oh,
they're
yeah.
Like,
it was truly the
I'm
last gasp
guy.
Of a certain kind of masculinity.
Yeah.
Like, it's the, like, you know, like the moment before something changes, you see the extreme, like, it's the extreme mm-hmm. last gasp of pre-Me Too Hollywood.
Yeah, that's true.
Just like a primal scream of a man with a boner.
It's like...
Just like a man that's... pulling his pants down and his hard penis screaming at you to listen to him.
It's like...
Listen to me!
That's true. It's like, I think that whole era of Hollywood is like stretching the like the mentality, like the Hemingway masculinity mentality all
oh,
the
yeah.
way as far as it can go down to this
oh, yeah,
like,
the...
basest, like... shittiest
yeah.
Version
last
of
gasp
that.
Of like
yeah.
Norman Mailer yeah,
yeah
absolutely
I love that
before everything changed a little bit also early and you know what it would be fun to turn this into a Californication podcast. The world is crying out. I am fascinated by the first stage post Sopranos prestige television.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's like something between, like, we could talk about Californication. We could talk about Carnival.
Yeah. There's like a weird era where, like, not everyone watched these shows because it was still on HBO
yeah.
and it wasn't, nothing was as popular as Sopranos. Like, Rome.
Like, we hadn't really gotten to The Wire
show,
quite. Yeah. Yeah. It's like The Wire and then Game of Thrones and Mad Men busted it open.
Yeah.
But for a while there was this kind of like, oh, TV is nuts now.
Yeah.
But most people still weren't into it. But I watched Rome for sure.
Yeah. My parents.
It was just like
Rome.
Horny TV.
Yeah. It was like, yeah, it was just TV for adults. And it's like, well, you're paying for it. So we'll show them fucking. Don't want to become one of those TV film podcast, so we'll maybe end it there. But thank
Too
you,
late.
Mark, for coming on the show, and maybe
coming
see,
on the show. I'm
coming
a part
on the
of
show,
the show.
Coming on the show as kind of a co-host, producer,
yeah,
executive producer, main element, basically the only other element of this show.
Yeah.
So
the guy you bounce your ideas off.
Love
That's
to do
what
that.
I want to feel like.
But yeah, no, thanks for coming. This is fun. And
okay, bye everyone.
Bye guys.
We hope you enjoyed part one of I Love Comedy, a three-part journey into the art of stand-up comedy and the craft of a perfect joke. hosted by Everardo Ramirez and Mark Little. Recorded and edited by Stefan McLeod and Everardo Ramirez. Music, Subliminal by Heaven for Real, JPB High NCS release. Public Access Bumper by Green Stewart. Stay tuned for part two, and subscribe to the Public Access podcast channel for more shows like this. If you are part of the class action lawsuit, you are entitled to a podcast of your own. Visit google.com and search Public Access podcast channel for more info.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network. Sonar!
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.